At that clock, and I think, well, I got 40 minutes to preach, and then I remember, well, we start at 6:30 now, amen, so I've only got 10 minutes here. I'm going to have to pack it in, amen, praise the Lord. But you know what, it's wonderful. I'd never got to pray with Brother Swoffer before, and I got to pray with Brother Swoffer, amen, and you ought to pray. What's the best way to get to know somebody is pray with them. Really is, amen, and I like that. Ladies with ladies, we'll switch it around. I know some of you just you got your prayer partner, and that's okay, husbands and wives, and praise the Lord for that. But wonderful. Let's stand one verse tonight as we start in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 1, and a great verse, a grand verse, the connecting verse of the two divisions of Ephesians is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. So just reading one verse tonight, let's read it together, amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 1. Ready? Let's begin. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We're going to talk tonight about the Christian's walk. Father, thank you for your blessings and your goodness. Use your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Quick review of our previous lesson, we concluded our study of the first three chapters of Ephesians. So you got blank lines there. We concluded our study of the first three chapters of Ephesians by looking at three things in verses 20 and 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. We looked at the incredible power of God in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So I'm sorry, the incredible person of God. The incredible person of God. Talked about unto him. It's God that we worship, amen. Some have accused us of worshiping the Word of God. Now, by the way, the Bible does say that God himself said that he has put his Word above his own name. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, we don't worship this book. We worship the God who wrote it. We worship the God who gave it to us, and all God's people said. And is the incredible person of God. Then we looked at the inexhaustible power of God. It says, unto him that is able. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we looked at that and broke down that verse. And then we looked at the infinite purpose of God. In verse 21, it says, and unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God's infinite purpose is to get glory from our lives privately and corporately and for all eternity. God's going to get glory. And praise God. Amen. So the believers at Ephesus were ignorant of their position and plenty or spiritual riches in Christ. The believers at Ephesus were ignorant of their position and plenty in Christ. This caused them to live way below their royal standing. This caused them to live way below their royal standing. We sing a song, I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Okay? Therefore, the Spirit moves Paul to expound in chapters 1 through 3 on the believer's election. We talked about that. Adoption. Blank line, redemption, salvation, acceptance, security, which sets forth a cause and effect. Blank line, okay? Sets forth a cause and effect. The cause in chapters 1 through 3, the effect in chapters 4 through 6, which outlines the book. So I have here the next line there, causes, okay? Chapters 1 through 3, doctrine, position, beliefs, calling, and revelation. I have a corresponding matching word for each one of those. So the cause of doctrine produces the effect of duty. Blank line there. You have a really long blank line. Don't worry, there's going to be lots of words on it. Okay? So the cause of good doctrine produces duty in our lives, Christian duty. Okay? The cause of our position in Christ affects our practice. Okay? Everybody with me so far? Doctrine, the cause of doctrine produces the effect of duty. The cause of position produces the effect of practice. The cause of beliefs produces the effect of behavior, or at least it's supposed to. Amen? Okay, this is what Paul is trying to really get across in these chapters that we've already read. He's laid the foundation of good doctrine in all that we have in Christ. Beliefs produce behavior. The cause of our calling affects our conduct. The fact that we're called of God, we have a high calling in Christ Jesus, it ought to affect our conduct. And then the cause of the revelation to the believer produces the effect of responsibility. By the way, that's scriptural. To whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Okay? And so we see this cause and effect. The causes are in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, which we've gone over. And now we're about to see the effects. Okay? So the first thing we see, Roman numeral number 1, is the summary. The summary. If you haven't learned anything in any of these lessons, but you learn this, it will help you. Whenever you see the word wherefore or therefore, ask yourself what it's there for. It is connects back. It always connects and to keep within the context. And here, again, just way of review, you have a blank line there. The summary, I therefore, the doctrinal teaching, chapters 1 through 3, should produce practical living. So I know you don't have much room to write living there. The doctrinal teaching should produce, we could call it practical Christian living. Again, good doctrine should produce good living. By the way, that's why we bemoan theological liberalism. Because you know what bad doctrine always produces? Bad living. Sometimes even good doctrine doesn't produce good living. Because we got this old flesh on us. And it hangs around. But here, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, the connector, the summary, going back to chapters 1 and 3, is all this, these great doctrines of the faith, the spiritual riches that we have in Christ, should produce practical Christian living, holy living. Okay? Number 2. So not only the summary, but we see the servant. The servant. For the second time, if you go back in, I think, Genesis chapter 3, I'm not Genesis chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And so here we have chapter 4, verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, okay, the servant. While he was imprisoned, and it should be by Rome. You have a blank line there, just write by Rome. While he was imprisoned by Rome, he knew God was in charge. That's important, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to preach, Lord willing, on Sunday night on when storms come. Some of you right now may be in a storm. When storms come, you need to know who is in charge of the storm. Who ultimately can say to the storm, peace, be still? Okay? The Apostle Paul, yes, he was in a Roman prison, and it certainly wasn't the Hilton. And it wasn't even Parnell. It was a Roman dungeon. But he said, he didn't say, I'm a prisoner of Rome or I'm a prisoner of Caesar. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we preached on Sunday night, and I tried to do the best I could, and I thought I stumbled and bumbled, but listen, God is still sovereign. God still rules and reigns in the affairs of men. Yes, he gives us a will, and the Apostle Paul here said, it is God's will that I'm the prisoner right now. And what did he say before? For your sakes. And you think about all the prison epistles that we have access to for our sakes, amen, the Apostle Paul. So the summary, I, therefore, the servant, the prisoner of the Lord. And then number 3, the summons. And we're going to go through these quick. They're all right here in Ephesians. So the summons. What was Paul's summons? What was he saying? He said, I beseech or I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Any of you ever have your mom or dad say, What's your last name? You tell them your last name, they say, remember that. Don't dishonor your name. Ever heard that before? Don't dishonor your name. Well, I plan to say that to my children. What's your name? They say, I can't even spell it, Dad. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll say, don't dishonor that name. You're Pastor Rich and Carrie Zavodsky's son or daughter. Don't dishonor that name. You know what Paul's saying here?
Yeah.
You're a Christian.
Christ.
Walk worthy. Walk worthy. So, five quick ways to walk from Ephesians. I love it. They're all in Ephesians 2. It's great. The first, the Christian is to walk, number one, worthily. Worthily. To walk worthy of that matchless name, Jesus Christ. You say, will I ever be perfect? Nope. But Vince Lombardi used to say this, if you chase perfection, you'll catch excellence. You know what? That's true. It's true in spiritual things, too. If you say, I'm going to chase perfection, Jesus Christ is my example, you know what? You'll live a worthy life for Him. You'll live a worthy life. So walk worthily. Go over to verse 17. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago when we preached on neither give place to the devil. He says there in verse number 17, he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, chapter 4, verse 17 of Ephesians, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What do we see here? The Christian is to walk differently. Ladies and gentlemen, we're Christians. Amen? That used to mean something when it came to the world. It used to mean we weren't part of the world anymore. Nowadays, people think they can still live like the world and claim the name of Christ. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're to walk differently. It doesn't make us any better than anybody else, and we don't think we are. It's simply a command of the Word of God. We're to be different. Walk differently. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Number three, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Love this. Love this. Think of our church when I think about this. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Number three, walk affectionately. The Christian is to walk affectionately. I think about quarrels that go on in churches. And I think if we just let this verse govern us, we'd submit ourselves to this verse, walk in love. Well, I tell you, we'd have less strife. I'm talking about the church as a whole. We don't have a lot of it here. I praise God for that. I really do. But boy, I'll tell you what, walking affectionately once, caring about each other, genuinely caring about one another. Affectionately, worthily, differently. Number four, we mentioned this one already. Chapter 5, verse 8, look at it there. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How are you walking here? Illuminatingly. Illuminatingly. That's an adverb for light. Amen. The children of light. Illuminatingly. Walking in the light. You know what? You know, listen. When we walk in the light, we don't care who sees what. Nothing to hide in the light. Nothing to hide in the light. I've often said about television, if you can't watch it in front of your kids, you probably shouldn't be watching it. Just walking in the light. Just walking in. Let your life be a light. You know what happens when you turn the light in the darkness? The bugs scatter. Some of you ever seen that before? Whoa, what was that? Amen. It's the same in our life. Walk in the light. Walk as children of light. Hey, listen, do we have things we're ashamed of? Yes. But very rarely is it done in the light. Walk in the light. And then lastly, not only walk worthily, walk differently, walk affectionately, walk illuminatingly. Verse 15 of chapter 5, this is a great word. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk carefully. Walk carefully in this world, circumspectly. I'll finish. It's we're 5 minutes past. I'll finish with this illustration. I heard this years ago. This man told this story. It was a preacher we were listening to, and he was a special forces trainer. He literally, in the Vietnam War, he was a Green Beret, a special forces trainer. And he said, they taught us that when you came to a broad path in Vietnam and you came to off the side, you had a small path. They always taught us, take the small path. And he said one time they literally went around this corner and somebody kind of went around casually, Brother Horst, and he came around this corner and a North Vietnamese sniper shot him in the helmet and the AK-47 spin. He said it literally spun Brother Swoffer and went out the back of his helmet and literally took his helmet off and he took his scalp off. And he said, why did that happen? Because he wasn't careful. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our enemy wants nothing more than to destroy us. He wants to devour us, destroy us, damage us, damn us, you name it. And you know what? We need to walk carefully. I get a little, I guess, what would be the word? Skeptical of preachers that use terms like old smutty face about the devil. You know, Michael durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Yeah. You start talking bad about the devil, you don't know who you're messing with.
Yeah.
Now listen, he's not omnipotent, and he's not omnipresent, but I'll tell you what, he sure is powerful. Yeah. And you know what we need to do in this Christian life? Walk circumspectly. Carefully. I think about literally the illustration of walking through a minefield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? You know what a mine will do if you step on it? It'll blow your leg right off. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of mines in this world for the Christian. He tells us the Christian's walk is to be a careful walk. Let us walk carefully. And so, at the end there, the five ways to walk. I'll just review them for you. Walk worthily, walk differently, walk affectionately, walk illuminatingly, and walk carefully, the Christian's walk. Father, thank you for your goodness, blessing, Lord. Thank you so much for our time in the Word of God on Wednesday night. And Lord, help us, Lord, just as we walk, to be careful. Lord, I thank you so much for your Word that helps us to walk in the light. And just pray that you be with us now as we close our service. Thank you for all that you give in Jesus' name. Amen. How about page